Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club for people who hate reading. This week's our theater picks. We pick The Equalizer with Denzel Washington. We talk about episode 3 of Firefly. And we bring you movie news at the end of the program. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, meow. Ryan Preston, and the old guy's absent. So The Equalizer, made in 2014. A man believes he has to put out... A man believes he has put his mysterious past behind him and has dedicated himself to beginning a new, quiet life. But when he meets a young woman...
Prostitute. Whore.
Woman of ill repute. So, I want to preference this movie about what my girlfriend said. She said it was really cheesy, very unrealistic, and it was a take and ripoff.
Okay.
And this is after my whole kind of glance over the movie. The broad brushstroke was it was a combination between Taxi, The Specialist, Payback, or Taken.
I was going to say it didn't rip off from Taken because Taken ripped off from 12 other movies also. This is one of those movies I've said it 100 times, like, just give me this, you know, once every 3 years and I'll be happy. You messed with the wrong guy movie.
Well, I say Taken because it's generally the latest movie in this style genre that people know.
This is actually what I wrote down after I watched this movie is unimpressed. That's about what this movie sums it up for me. If I compare this to others like this, it's a 2. If I compare it to a standalone, it's a 3. But it's seen it, done it, wasted my time. Why the hell did I need to see Denzel Washington doing it? It's a ripoff of a multitude of different movies, actually. But this is how the movie goes. It's blah, blah, blah. Underestimated badass, blah, 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 insert gang / Russian mob here, blah, 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 they messed with the wrong guy, blah, 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 people he cares about gets in trouble, blah, 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 he kills them, end of the movie.
Something pulls the mysterious guy out of retirement.
Yeah.
Inciting incident and things like that. I like that the inciting incident was in the movie for all of 10 minutes.
I do have to say the things I liked about this movie. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf and think positive. Probably not going to last very long.
This is awesome coming from the Denzel Washington hater for some reason.
Right? I actually kind of like the OCD nature of his character.
When he opened and closed the door?
Well, he was doing that 3 times. He would do certain other things 3 times. And the other part I really liked was kind of, you got to see kind of his mind. He would look for the corkscrews in the corner. You'd see the gun, the guy with knife. That effect, and he'd just instantaneously know everything that happened, and he'd go, 16 seconds.
Clink. Okay. Thank you, Sherlock.
Yeah, I was going to say, shades of Sherlock.
yes, but I but
in the, John, for a sec, though, it is paint by numbers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as far as the plot's concerned, it really is, with a couple little idiosyncratic things like the watch. But I like to see Denzel Washington doing it. You know, it's one of those, I like what the sum of the parts add up to.
I just kind of feel like it was pretty much like he's sitting there watching Liam Neeson do it and like, hey, guys, I'm almost 60. I can do it, too. Come on, let me do it. Let me do it, please.
See, I actually don't think this has, to me, this has a different feel than Taken because
I'm not
the way...
comparing it to Taken. I'm just saying that Liam Neeson's doing it.
No.
And you see other actors doing it. You know, like Mel Gibson, you brought up Payback. And you know, you got Brian, well, we kind of brought up Sherlock because that's pretty much where they ripped that off from. But you see those guys doing it, and it's like, oh, it's my turn.
I'm gonna compare it to Taken since that's the most recent one I think in this genre. Is I think the difference is Liam Neeson's character kind of gives.
For Christ's sake, his name is Liam Neeson.
Yeah, Liam Neeson. Oh, Nielsen. Oh, close enough. I'm gonna do it now just to piss you off.
For Christ's sake.
Well, I think Liam Neeson, the character presents himself as a badass from the beginning. Like the feel and the kind of the aura the character gives off. The only thing I think you think about Denzel's character is like, okay, this guy's kind of OCD. He's a little weird. He likes everything taking the same amount of bloody time every day.
I think he's actually trying to improve his time every day.
Yeah.
You know, like seeing if he can do it a little bit quicker, a little bit more efficiently. And then I think the first scene when he was in the office with the Russian mob, when he sort of calculated everything, I think that was him doing sort of the old school calculations and then seeing how his body reacted to it, because he was still like a few seconds off, and he kind of gave that, nah, not bad.
Yeah, but I mean, have you not seen him in like Man on Fire? Like, that was pretty much the same character he's playing there.
Almost the same part too.
Yeah,
you know, where he's trying to go after the girl.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, honestly, I actually like Chloe Grace Moretz. I like her. I mean, she was Hit Girl, and that's pretty much where I became a really big fan of her. She did decent in Carrie.
That's where
I like her seeing
her from
different roles that she's doing, and I hope that she gets a little bit out of this. You know, she doesn't get stuck in this type of thing. But I do like seeing her
this type of thing, though. She's got a really, you know, good sort of. Kind of, I mean, she can be that character so well, you know what I mean? She doesn't have, she's not scared to do the kind of out there sort of roles where she plays, you know, the streetwalker.
I think it also helps the way she carries herself in movies, because there's totally actors or actresses that the way they carry themselves on screen, you're thinking, yeah, that's totally not realistic. She comes off, I think, pretty good.
Well, I think she can play the role nicely, but I actually just recently watched her version of Carrie, and she actually played the little kind of down on her luck girl, the shy girl, really, really well. I was actually impressed by it.
Yeah, she's a good little actress, that's
but
for sure.
Yeah, I really like her, but I like her in the more action things. I would like to see her kind of steer more towards, not to really compare her to her, but, you know, like the Angelina Jolie, the tougher girl character, and she's the first one that came to mind.
As long as I wouldn't mind that, as long as they don't play up like the sexy Angelina role, you know, they just let the character
she's
dictate.
17, you pervert.
Yeah.
Yes, but have you ever seen? But you ever seen Angelina Jolie's early movies?
Yes, I did.
I mean, so you see, that's what I'm talking about. You know, I'd love to
see
a
character. I know, I'm just giving her a hard time.
I'd love to see a character who's female, not play off her looks. You know, like let the characters dictate. You know.
Yeah.
The style.
But my point was, is what 17-year-old, like James pointed out, is going to take that kind of a punk rock role, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, true.
And do that sort of a dirty sort of thing at that age, you know?
Oh, true.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
that's kind of cool of her to look outside of the normal 17-year-old roles.
Yeah, especially to be playing Hit Girl when she did.
So
how much of a mouth did that girl have?
Oh, it was
you
great.
Know, seriously?
It was perfect.
I wonder if off-screen her parents were like, honey.
I just remember when I first watched it, I just looked over at Jenna and I said, can we get one?
So
I want a little girl like that.
So I want to skip to the one part of this movie I really wanted to talk about. Favorite deaths. Because I got two favorite, kind of, one's an alluded to and one's a death. I love the fact the guy backed up
into
the
drill. Are you trying to nail it?
Yeah, that one more part was eh. I love the drill bit scene. I love the, you know, just going,
Yeah, you know,
that and the scene where that punk stole the money from the register and stole the ring, and he walks into the aisle, apparently that has no cameras, grabs a sledgehammer, and comes back a little while later with a
bloody
rag.
I'm like, dude, he's just putting the merchandise right back on the shelf. That's a good idea. But, you know,
it
is.
A murder weapon is sell it to somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
And somehow managed to get all the blood off that wood.
And not sell it privately on Craigslist, sell it retail.
Yeah.
But I wanted to point out one thing. I don't know if you guys are up in Sacramento. How many billboards for movies do you guys have around there? Is it still quite a lot?
No. Not where we live.
Bus stop ads and things?
No, not really.
What I'm wondering is, how many times have you seen the poster for this movie?
None.
Really? Okay.
Seriously.
Well, the poster, I don't know if you saw it on IMDb, but it's the one where it's the Equalizer and the words. And it's just Denzel Washington sitting like this with an unknown weapon in his hand.
Because the one
and I saw this.
It's this one. You can't see it, but it's the one where he's holding like the gun or
right.
No, it's the nail gun.
The whole time I'm watching this movie, I'm wondering like what gun is he holding? Like I know it almost looks like a Desert Eagle, but too big and too squared off. And then it almost looks like a shotgun, but not really, because there's like no trigger guard and there's no real trigger to speak of. And the whole time I'm waiting to see what it is, and then I see him the nail in the wall after he shoots the first one, and I'm like, oh. I know exactly what that is. That nail gun is actually for concrete, and they use 22 caliber cartridges to drive nails into concrete.
But I've never seen one with a magazine.
No, I've seen them with magazines.
Really?
Have you?
Other question is, they must have removed the safety, because most
no
of those
safety, cause there's nothing on the front that you have to compress like a usual
nail.
Okay.
It's just, it has the two handles like you see, and it just click, click, charges one, and then you just put it up onto some brick or concrete, and then boom, 22 drives.
Well, after this movie, California's going to change that law.
So that's the new, that's the new Schwarzenegger, you know, the reload, the pump action, swing action on the the pump, or the swing action on the, like, 1894 Winchester.
You know, I really...
That was a shotgun that he was using,
Yeah,
1894
that's right.
Winchester would be more the one that Mel uses in Firefly.
Yep.
I really can't.
They call it a mare's leg when it's shortened up like that.
Yeah.
That's right.
I really can't think of a death that really stood out to me that much. I mean, the corkscrew was nice, but, you know, I didn't really have any that I was like, ooh, that was awesome. I really can't say that. Which is kind of sad.
Yeah, I liked the scene in the mobster's office.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked the scene, but there was no death that just went, oh, wow, that was crazy, you know?
So apparently, just doing a little bit of searching, and sorry, I just kind of wanted to see. Apparently,
homework now.
Apparently, it was a TV show.
What was?
Says The Equalizer. Says The Equalizer was a television spy series that starred Edward Woodward as Robert McCall, a disillusioned U.S. government spy who decides to leave the company and use his skills to equalize the odds for citizens who call upon his help in New York City.
I wonder if they're trying to do this as like a prequel to something.
I have a feeling...
Just a series?
It's a TV series in 1985.
No, I mean, if Denzel Washington, this is like one of four movies or something.
Yeah, it's his Taken. Oh my God! Oh, John, you're right.
But on the other hand, at least this has a more realistic plot than him and his wife get kidnapped, and his daughter.
Is that the new one?
That's the second one.
Okay, well, I'm saying is him and his wife getting kidnapped together now?
I don't
is that
remember.
What they're going to do? He's actually going to be taken in this new Taken movie?
No, I think what happens is he gets. they try to take him out like Red style.
Oh.
That's, you know, so...
Okay.
I could see them doing another series, another movie. My problems, I just don't know how good it would be. Because this movie does not say sequel.
The second one wasn't that great. But you're talking about Equalizer. Sorry, okay. You know, yeah, I agree with you. It's like, what is he going to do now? He's going to take Chloe Grace Moretz under his wing and be like, you're going to become a super spy.
Oh, great.
I am going to teach you everything.
Oh, great. It's become Leon the Professional.
He seems like he's become, at the end of the movie, it was like the Lone Wolf 18.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the same, like, to me.
Find him, you can hire him kind of thing.
Yeah, I was, back to that whole Leon the Professional thing, I don't think Natalie Portman could do it. I could see Chloe Grace Moretz actually playing a role like that. Like, Natalie Portman, I can't see that. I can see that in this... God, I wish her name was easier. Chloe. really do.
I can't pronounce it crap, so...
Anyway, I just wish Chloe, you know... She has it in her repertoire to be able to do it. Looking after Kick-Ass, I mean...
So I want to kind of ask Brian a question. Do you have any, like, what was the part that drove you nuts? There's anything about this movie that you really just kind of went, wow.
I got one.
No, because it was such a, like I said before, it was kind of a paint by numbers. It's really hard to mess that up. In as much as the formula really doesn't allow you to. I mean, you, inciting incident, you know, decent middle, a lot of action sequences back and forth. And then, you know, the gets in trouble a little bit at the end, his friends come through for him. Maybe that was the only part that was a little bit, like, peppered in there, almost, like spastically, was the Mexican friend with the...
Ooh,
the
carrying the 190 out. Yay!
That's going to pay off later.
He was kind of a throwaway character just for the end of the movie.
Yeah, it
really was just for the end of the movie, and you're expecting it the entire time, like, oh, wait, we can't end the movie because he hasn't been saved by his Latino buddy.
Right, and it had to come back to the Home Depot, or excuse me, Home Smart, or whatever the freak it was.
But that being said, I mean, it's a lot of things that I expected, but at the same time look forward to when watching a movie like this.
I think for me personally, the only thing that kind of bugged me was some of the lines in this movie were like, really? I thought we were beyond this by now. Like, I don't remember what it was, but there was one line that actually made me go, oh, crap.
How dare you think that we're beyond you know, good action
bad movie one-liners.
These weren't even good action movie one-liners. These were more like, damn, Jean-Claude Van Damme want his line back.
Shut your hole. And I think there was a lot of things in this movie that just kind of made me, like, just groan. Like Ryan said, the biggest one was the Mexican guy. Not saying he's fat or anything, but just that was the one that was stuck out the most was, like, the carrying the 190, and then all of a sudden he gets to carry the 190 out the freaking, out of terror. Yay, the part that really bothered me was just to all of a sudden, let's go blow up a pipeline.
Yeah, right?
It's like, really? Did we need to have that just unnecessary explosion?
Did you borrow that?
I mean, because they threw out a bunch of...
He blew up a pipeline. He blew up, like,
a ship.
Docks.
Yeah.
It looked like he borrowed that from a modern warfare. It's like, crap, did you ask for permission from EA?
Exactly. That was kind of like the whole thing of, like, just really randomly, he just decides to blow up part of the city and nobody bats an eye.
Right? Yeah. Or it's like he leaves the city, they already know who he is, and nobody spots him leaving the city. Like, especially the cops. So.
Yeah. So that was probably the biggest part that bothered me, was just all of a sudden randomly, let's just go blow some shit up.
By the way, where did he get the car? Because he obviously doesn't have a secret stash of guns like all the other spy movies.
He stole it from the guy who robbed the Home Depot. What's up, man? I see you. Hey, how's it going? Yeah, there we go.
I did like the line at the end when the Mexican guy rescued him. His comment was like,
I like the bow tie.
His 190 my ass. I thought that was a pretty good line, but it was a line that they just threw in to get a laugh.
Yeah, and honestly, I didn't hear anybody laughing at this movie.
So when you...
Did you? In your theater, were there people laughing?
There was a guy... Really, not to discredit the movie, because this happened about 3 minutes into the credit, the
intro
previews. There was a guy that snored. This is a 2-hour and 14-minute movie. This guy snored for 2 hours and 8 minutes. I shit you not.
Wow. Okay, I have to be honest. I was laughing at some of the ridiculousness. I thought it was funny that he was putting back the sledgehammer. The drilling scene kind of made me giggle. There were the death scenes and some of the random stuff. Like, he flies to Moscow. He's broke, apparently doesn't have any money, but he can go to Moscow. Goes up to one of the biggest gangsters who apparently can bribe congressmen, but can't get security men to stop one black guy from entering his house.
And flooding his bathroom.
Yeah, and somehow getting a cord. And by the way, it wouldn't be hard to spot the one effing black guy in almost this entire movie.
Yeah, they don't have very many black people in Russia, and that's not racism, that's just truth, guys.
So I... So I thought that whole thing, I was laughing the whole time. And then somehow he starts killing people, doesn't really show the gun, don't know if he has a silencer. It's just, I thought that the whole part just made me giggle.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, it's... The movie was just, like I said, unimpressive to me. I was unimpressed.
So, what do you give it?
2.
Dang.
I told you I was unimpressed.
Ryan?
I give it a 3. I enjoy it. It's not anything special, but it's, you know, I didn't have a bad time.
You know, I was close to giving it a 3, but I just had to look at it and just be like, you know, I've seen it, been there, done it.
But like I said, I like seeing it. You know, this is my kind of movie. You know, give me this once every couple, 3 years, and but then I'm satiated on my dumb shit action movies.
If I want to do something like that, I pick a decent one like Payback.
So
well, I do. I mean, but how many times can I watch that movie, James? I'm up to like 35.
So I'll be completely honest. I really don't like.
You're not that old.
I'll be honest. I'm not a big Denzel Washington fan. I have seen movies in the last 10 years that actually made me start liking him a little bit more. Taking a Felon 1-2-3 being it. I was ready to give it straight out of 2 out of 5.
But don't pluralize movies.
I wasn't expecting it to be... I was actually expecting it to be crap, because nothing about this movie, the trailers, the posters, made me... They screamed, see me. But I laughed. I thought it was entertaining. It's still a crap movie, but I got to give it a 3 out of 5. I agree with Ryan. I kind of like, I'm a badass, but you don't know it type of movies.
Yeah.
But
there
I was
better ones.
Oh, no, of course, but, you know, but for what it is. And so, James, you're going to talk about episode 3 of Firefly.
Well, so this is Malcolm Reynolds' wife. This is actually pretty much the title of it. Is it's like I think our Mrs. Reynolds or whatever, Malcolm Reynolds. Anyway, you know, I like this one because it really shows how dumb the captain can be. Honestly, that's really what it comes back to. And, you know, he's not like dumb, but it's just like he could be taken advantage of. Just like anybody else.
Every now and again.
Which is funny is because the way they play the character off in battle scenes, like he's some strategic genius, but give a cute girl, and he's like,
And the girl they picked is quite attractive. And I like kind of the way that they do it. Is, you know, he's basically in some backwoods little town, and all of a sudden it's like, you took a sip of that? So does she. Ah! You're married!
Really? Wow, you're right.
And that's kind of the way that I like that, because it just kind of brings down, you know... Yeah, that's pretty much what it does. It kind of humanizes the
captain?
No, the universe that they're in. They're kind of make it more feel like, you know, what we got out in the country type of Midwest type of stuff. And I like that.
Well, see, man, I like a... By this point, episode 3, I mean, you already pretty much know kind of who the characters are, more or less. They've each kind of had their moments. I love that they explain... Right in the beginning, you know, this all takes place in the outskirts, and that's why everything looks the way it does, and it's all rustic. It's almost, you know, Oregon Trail-ish.
It's the frontier.
It's the frontier.
Yeah, it's the frontier of space.
So that setting is friggin' awesome, and Joss Whedon's really good at making characters that you like, and then the stories stand alone on themselves as really good. You know, if you turn it on one day and you're just like, oh, what's this? And you watch 3 minutes, you're already hooked.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
It's got a good way of telling stories like that.
And I like Zoe's little thing of, you know, pretty much in this whole episode, it's like, I told you so. You know, don't think with your penis, is pretty much what she's saying to him.
And, she's too, you know, polite for that.
Yeah, she is. But, you know, I like the way that she kind of puts it. You know, it's like, don't be making that mistake. And he keeps on doing it.
One of my my favorite things about this show, and James, you might agree with me on this, is the clever use of swear words.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm sure people have noticed they're not swearing in English.
Yeah.
Might sound a little something like Chinese.
That's...
Because it is.
It is Chinese, yeah.
I have a small list of things that they have been saying.
Oh.
You might find this interesting. This is some choice things, but the types of phrases that they've had, they have a translator attached to the show.
Okay, and okay, come
one
on.
One of her jobs was translating things like frog humping son of a bitch. One of my favorite ones, stupid son of a drooling whore and a monkey.
Can you say this in Chinese, though?
No, absolutely not. There's no way.
I'll pay you $5 to try.
Do it a few times, maybe next week. Have a shit-throwing contest with a monkey.
That sounds like fun.
Let's see. Shove all the planets in the universe up my ass. Somebody had to translate that. Now, my favorite one is they actually found a way to translate Holy Testicle Tuesday.
Well, Robin would be proud.
So, yeah, if you're watching this and you're wondering what they're saying, it might be worth looking them up.
Yeah.
So I
sorry.
So we're gonna skip real quick into movie news before we skip on to the announcement of next month's theme. Is everybody's favorite spider, Black Widow, is
not
playing
my favorite spider. Carnage.
Well, I don't disagree. Scarlett Johansson offered to play Major in a live action Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, I've heard about this rumor. Is this actually being confirmed now?
Everything I've read right now, it's just rumors.
Ghost in the Shell, the anime, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that came out in the 90s, mid-90s.
Right.
Okay. I'll be completely honest. I don't know if I like her pick.
I mean,
I'm nothing against her personally, but I...
She doesn't fit Major.
I honestly just kind of hate Western versions of Japanese material. Generally, the context, it's not the same.
Yeah.
That's my major issue. There's a lot of, like, the anime generally has a lot of cultural stuff, and it doesn't change like that to me, in my opinion.
But it also doesn't change the fact that some of those things are just wicked good stories.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. I really don't see Scarlett Johansson playing the major very well.
I
honestly.
Who do you think would play good Ryan? Because I kind of agree. I don't think she's a perfect fit. I want to see the movie, but I just don't think she'd do a good job.
It's hard to pick a good one.
Actually, what's her name? Clarique?
Chloe?
Yeah. If she was a little older.
A little young.
Yeah, I was going to say. Are we doing Ghost in the Shell Origins now?
I mean, do you almost need somebody completely unknown for a role like that, though?
Yeah, I agree with that.
But, I don't know. I mean, if they're picking her for that, I've been surprised a lot by what seems to be sort of stunt casting seems to be the right choice half the time. You know,
I'll give you that. I'd see the movie because I actually love Ghost in the Shell, but it would, I have to say, it might take me a little bit to get over the fact that, you know, I'm seeing, you know, the Black Widow, I'm seeing Lucy, but I can get over it.
Well, I was gonna, you know, actually, we're actually on talking about one of the girls that I actually think would be able to do it, Summer Glau.
Which one is that?
That's River.
I haven't seen her recently.
She hasn't really done much recently. I've seen her in a couple things, and she's actually kind of changed her. She can make me forget that she was River a few times. So
actually, it's because it's been so long.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But I was thinking,
10 years.
I could see her doing it.
I would definitely be interested in seeing that.
Anyway,
and I'm gonna cut in real quick because I totally forgot to tell you guys. But we do have a Facebook page. Do me a favor. Do you like us? Do you hate us? Do you think we suck? Is there a movie or a theme you'd let us?
I really don't care.
Or is there a theme you'd like us to do? We might even read your hate mail or your love mail online.
Sent all love mail, Kara Ryan.
Please.
And so what we're going to do now is James is going to read next month's theme.
So we've been discussing this for a while, and we here at Real Flix Reviews actually try to endeavor to highlight actors or actresses who actually have a lot of talent, can traverse different roles, and pretty much being able to go from action to comedy is nothing that we really see as standout, but to go from comedy to drama is something that we kind of both, all of us really feel has real talent.
Not to mention, be a force in both.
Yeah. You
know, that's hard.
That's the hard part.
But even more, being able to do it seamlessly is actually mostly unattainable by most actors.
Well, here's the funny thing about it. One generation views him as comedy. The other generation can't even believe that he did comedy.
But not only to stand out on that, but also to make the majority of his jokes clean and funny. And that takes some real talent. And there's only really one person that we're discussing right now, and that's Robin Williams. And he actually unfortunately passed away recently. But his shtick pretty much to me was basically a one-man vaudeville show.
Yeah, he had the rare ability to do dramas, comedies, and thrillers, because he did a couple of them, and every time he became that character, which is a very rare skill.
Yeah, he pretty much made any role that he got into one that it pretty much seemed like he was born or the role was created for him. And as I said, he passed away recently, and I actually had to write this down, because there's only a few people that I could think of who would any way be able to give his eulogy and be able to do it justice. And that's Groucho Marx, Adolf Marx, if you don't know who that is, shut up, and Robin Williams himself. Those are the only people I could ever see being able to give his eulogy justice.
I have to admit, I'm surprised he didn't write his.
Yeah. Anyway, along with that, but we've been trying to figure out which way we wanted to go, if we wanted to do a theme of comedy or do a theme of drama, and we actually decided to do a month of each. And actually, we're going to be starting off with a comedy. This is actually my wife's suggestion to be able to do 1 month of each and start comedy and then go into.
Drama.
We're going to start drama.
I have to change my pick.
Sorry. Anyway, so that's actually what we're going to do is we're going to start this month of drama, and then next month we're going to be doing comedy, and Ryan gets to be up for, or John. Sorry.
And I do want to say that this particular movie is one of my all-time favorites, even though it has another actor I don't like. I'm doing this movie, which is a little bit of both, you know, it's a little bit of comedy, a lot of drama. Good Morning, Vietnam.
So that's what we're going to be starting with.
Who don't you like in that movie?
Forrest Whitaker.
He has a, you know, a thing against people who have strokes.
Oh, jeez. I just... Dang, dude, that's a little harsh.
Nah, he just really doesn't like Forrest Whitaker, and he has no real...
And Forrest Whitaker has got some misses in his career, but...
He does.
When you put him next to somebody huge and give him big stuff, he's
I'll be completely honest, as a starring character, I don't think he has a stroke, but as a supportive character, I think that's where he does better than most people.
Absolutely. As a leading man,
he plays very well off of people.
Yeah, he does. Anyways, so that's what we're doing for the next couple months, is we're going to do one of drama, and then next month we'll all each pick a different one of comedy. So.
And this will be rare for Real Flix Reviews. Generally, we don't like being stuck months with a single theme or a single person, but because all three of us were pretty big fans of Robin Williams, we felt this was really the only way to kind of, you know, give a goodbye salute.
Man, if there was kind of one person I could think of off the top of my head that could span a lot of different themes,
This one man. So.
So next week is Firefly episode 4, Good Morning Vietnam. And as always, we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.